Like to think about that living water, Jesus. I'm in Matthew chapter 11 this morning. If you'll take your Bible and turn to there. Jesus is the living water, and no doubt Jesus is the promised Messiah, and that's what the title of the message is today. No doubt Jesus is the promised Messiah. Now, that title kind of throws you a little bit this morning, because I want to talk to you about your doubts. You ever had doubts about Jesus? Doubts about your faith? Doubts about your walk with the Lord? Let's look this morning in this passage, and if you'll pardon me, I'm going to read several verses out of chapter 11, beginning with verse 1. It says, when Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their playmates, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. Have you ever had doubts about Jesus? I think John right then was kind of wondering about Jesus. Is he the one that was to be sent? Is he the one, or should we look for someone else? Have you ever had doubts about Jesus? When you have questioned whether or not what you were believing were true, is Jesus the Jesus of history? And you know, you can look at different historians and find accounts about Jesus outside of the Bible. But it's the Jesus of history that lived on this earth 2,000 years ago. Is he the promised Messiah of the Bible? Well, I think most Christians have doubts from time to time, and it's usually when they're going through a hard time. Their faith is strong, and then a tragedy happens, or multiple tragedies, and they wonder, where is God in the middle of all of this? As we just read, even John the Baptist had doubts. Let's consider a couple things from this passage that will help us combat doubt and strengthen our faith. Let's consider first the framework of doubt. We learn at least three things here about the framework or the structure of doubt from this passage that will help us, I believe, this morning. First off, when we have doubt, It often arises during difficult situations. We would agree this could be true. It happened to John the Baptist. He'd been faithfully and boldly proclaiming that Jesus was the coming Messiah who would be the Savior of the world, the Savior of our sins. He's coming. John preached that over and over and over faithfully. Yet here he was in prison. In prison, experiencing shame and hunger and physical torment and emotional struggle as he sat there in prison. He was in a difficult situation, even though he'd been very faithful to God. And maybe he questioned in his mind, was all of it worth it or not? After all, it landed me in prison. So John, I just wonder what all was going through John's mind. Not only could doubt come from difficult situations that we find ourselves in, when doubt arises, it could be because of unmet expectations. Now, this was the Messiah that would come to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. Yet John was in prison. Later on, Paul was in prison, and many others in prison since then. And even today, as you and I sit in this comfortable auditorium today to worship God, there are people in prison because they have preached and proclaimed the name of Jesus. And at this point, with John, it was becoming clear that those expectations of Jesus being the Messiah wasn't really coming true for many of the Jewish people. It sure wasn't happening for John. Right at this moment, as we've been talking about, John wasn't a free man. John was in prison for preaching Jesus as the one who would set the Jewish nation free. He was in prison. Rome was still in charge. Sin was running rampant, and political and religious corruption still ruled the day. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Much of that sounds just like today. And they looked to Jesus. See, the Jewish people looked to Jesus as the Messiah who would set them free from all that. And so, instead of overthrowing Rome, what they were seeing about Jesus was that he was hanging out with the irreligious sinners and teaching them about forgiveness. He wasn't overthrowing the government. Why, he wasn't even fasting, for heaven's sakes. He wasn't lining up with us. So John started thinking, is he really the one? Is Jesus the promised one? You know, he's sitting there in prison, and I would imagine thinking about all kinds of different things, wouldn't you? I mean, you're sitting there in chains. What else are you going to do but think? And oftentimes, when you start thinking about things, that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Because we start thinking about things that are not true, or having a pity party on ourselves, and then start thinking that Jesus doesn't love us anymore. Jesus is just ignoring us. And that's not true, is it? Doubt arises from finding ourselves in difficult situations. It arises from unmet expectations that we have. It also arises from limited perception. In other words, limited understanding. John's problem was that he didn't understand everything that was happening or not happening around him. So he sent his disciples to go question Jesus. Ask him, is he the one that we're supposed to be expecting as the Messiah, or is it going to be someone else? Same with us. Doubt can arise within us, and we don't understand what's going on around us, why things are happening to us, what's going on in the world. We don't seem to have the answers that we need. We don't understand why, if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior and we've been faithful to Him, that all these things keep happening to me. We've been walking faithfully with the Lord, worshiping the Lord, serving the Lord, and then all of a sudden some tragedy happens in our life and it rocks our boat and we wonder, where is God? Now we know God is good and can do all things, but we don't understand why we have to continue to struggle. Am I hitting a nerve with anybody this morning? Have you ever thought those kinds of things before? Sometimes trials come into our lives because of sin, or sin in the lives of others around us. But we've got to remember that, like John, our perception of things is somewhat limited, right? We really don't know all of the ins and outs to everything. If you're having trouble today and you're starting to think, why doesn't God intervene? God knows more about the situation than you do. God knows more, but God knows what's going on with your problem, right? And God will take care of that. And you and I, we have a finite mind, a limited mind, and we don't understand everything that's going on around us. Even when our trials are not a direct result of disobedience, we got to remember that we're limited in what we understand. Now, John the Baptist, now he probably had more insight to things than anybody else at that time, wouldn't you think so? I mean, he was a prophet. Don't God's prophets know things? But John's problem was that he didn't know how this story of Jesus was going to play out. Limited understanding. Right now, he's in prison. He knows he got in prison because he's preaching Jesus as the Messiah, the Savior of the world. He didn't know what was going to happen later, did he? Not at that point, he didn't. See, God was ushering in a different kind of kingdom than a lot of Jewish people expected. John knew more than most, but I think he was confused about the timing of things. Yet he still questioned, was Jesus the Messiah that was supposed to bring imminent blessing and judgment? When would this kingdom come? See, that's what a lot of the Jewish people thought. They were expecting the Messiah to come riding in on a white horse and conquer and get rid of Rome and all these things that were hindering them. But actually, a lot of that is the second coming of Christ, when he does come back as the conqueror. And when he does come back to set things straight, aren't you just longing for Jesus to come back and set things right? I am. But John still questioned, when would this kingdom come? When is these things going to come? Whenever we go through difficult situations with unmet expectations and questions rising within us, we need to remember that we can't see it all. We don't know the reasons for it all. Don't know the reasons why. We've got to trust Jesus that even though we can't see it, God knows what he's doing, doesn't he? God knows what he's doing. So in this study about John, we've looked at the framework of doubt, or what might be causing us to doubt. What is the answer for that, by the way? What is the answer when we have doubts? Well, the answer to doubt is this. A couple of things. We can confront doubt with this right here. We can confront doubt with what the Word of God says. Biblical revelation. What God's Word reveals to us can help us with doubt. When John's disciples questioned Jesus, Jesus spoke the Word to them. He told John, go and tell John what you see and hear. And the things that he was quoting there was out of the book of Isaiah. chapters 35 and 61, that describe the miraculous works of what Jesus had been doing. For instance, the blind were receiving their sight. Go back and tell John that the blind see. The blind are receiving their sight. Now you start digging through your Old Testament, and you'll be hard-pressed to find a follower of God restoring somebody's sight. I didn't really realize that till just as I was studying and digging through this, that kind of thing wasn't happening back then. Well, is this something new about God? No, it's just that it wasn't happening through His followers at that time. But Jesus, that was what He was doing. He was opening the eyes of the blind. And just as it was promised by Isaiah the prophet, Jesus told John's disciples, we have it in verse 5 of our text today, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. Wow! Isn't that something? Now I can tell by your faces out there this morning that you're just really super excited about that. I can see it by the pleasant smiles on your face. You're almost giddy with laughter. You should be, right? Jesus is restoring sight to the blind. He restored your sight. You were spiritually blind and walking around in the dark. And when you got saved, Jesus restored your sight. Amen? And I'm praying that Jesus will open up the ears of the deaf in this church. Boy, preacher, you're just getting plumb mean to us. You're just getting plumb mean. Well, I noticed I preached pretty hard last Sunday, and there's more people here this Sunday. Maybe I'll just get a little bit meaner then. Jesus restores deaf, hearing to the deaf, and He heals. He made the lame walk, it said there. The dead were raised. Boy, I could go off on that one, couldn't I? The dead were raised. Amen. Wake up! That's what I can't stress to you this morning how important it is to know what the Word of God says. You have doubts? You might not know your Bible very well. If you have doubts about Jesus, if you have doubts about who He is, if you have doubts about your faith and your beliefs and all these things, maybe it's because you don't know your Bible very good. Well, I've been a Christian for 50 years. Yeah, but you having doubts, you don't know your Bible very good. And you can fix that, by the way. You can fix it. We teach the Bible here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But even those three times, it's not as important as you supplementing those three opportunities with your own study of the Bible. Confront doubt by knowing your Bible. And then we can confront doubt by submitting joyfully to Jesus. After Jesus recounts His great works to John's disciples, He closes by saying, "And blessed is the one who's not offended by Me." Blessed is the one who's not offended by Me. To not be offended because of Jesus is essentially to trust Him. It's to trust Him. Trust Him. Even when it's not easy. And even when trusting Christ seems to be contrary to reason, we need to remain grounded in the Bible and look to Him in faith. Are you listening to me this morning? You're not taking a nap, are you? Know your Bible and trust Jesus. By the way, I love you. I do love you. That's why I say things like that. I love you. Did you hear that? I think you heard that. Know your Bible and trust Jesus. Jesus knows what He's doing, doesn't He? Whenever my situation gets thick, and it has been, believe me, Trust Jesus. He knows what he's doing. Right? He knows what he's doing. Now, as John's disciples were leaving here and they're on their way back to tell John what Jesus said, Jesus turns to the crowd and he starts defending John. He said, there's never been a greater prophet than John. There's never been a greater prophet born of women than John. And you say, well, what about all those old prophets of the Old Testament? You mean John was greater than they were? Was John greater than Ezekiel and Daniel and Isaiah? And was he greater than Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Hey, that's what Jesus said. Never has there been a greater prophet. Then he said in verse 11, yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is even greater than he. Now, who was he talking about there? He said, even though, in verse 11, he said, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and me. He's talking about us. As followers of Christ today, we should be amazed and grateful that we have a greater privilege and position than John the Baptist did of telling others about Jesus. While John was unclear on all that the Messiah would do, we know all that Jesus did when he was here, don't we? It's in the book. John didn't know all of that, but you do. We do. It's in the book. And we have the privilege of proclaiming the crucified and resurrected Jesus. That'll squelch your doubts, won't it? We need to take hold of this truth and be faithful to our task that is greater than all the prophets of the Old Testament and John the Baptist. Jesus said, yet the least in the kingdom, and I tell you what, I feel like I'm pretty far down there, don't you? The least in the kingdom is greater than he is. We've got a privileged position in Christ. Amen? It's a privilege. But even though it's a privilege position, we're never promised that it would be an easy position, right? Like Jesus and John, we're going to be opposed by the world, opposed by family, opposed by friends, and sometimes opposed by people who call themselves Christians. Jesus said in verse 12 that from the days of John until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and violent take it by force. The kingdom faces opposition as it grows. Being a Christian can be tough. And the devil doesn't make it any easier either. I haven't said much about him, have I? Our adversary, the devil, will plant seeds of doubt in your mind and cause you to doubt your faith when things get tough. And so, I got a little short phrase for you. You ready? Know your Bible and stick with Jesus. That's it, isn't it? Know your Bible and stick with Jesus. At the end of our passage today, Jesus speaks of how different his ministry was than John's. In verse 18, it says, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he's got a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. John warned people to repent, didn't he? Jesus told them that he loved them and he had forgiveness for them. But sinful hearts rebelled against both messages. Both messages. The world will react similarly to you and me when we speak truth, but wisdom says of our right living with God will justify us. Living lives separate and apart from the way the world lives will justify that our faith is real. Jesus said in verse 19, wisdom is justified by her deeds. So even in the middle of difficult situations and unmet expectations and limited perception that can create doubt at times, Jesus is worthy of our trust, is he not? Jesus is worthy of our trust. Recognize the things that can cause doubt as we've discussed today. Know your Bible. Submit joyfully to Jesus. Or in other words, just stick with him, right? Just stick with him. He knows what he's doing. We fight doubt in this world and fight fear of this world with faith in the promised Messiah that we know now. His name is Jesus, right? Let's get a hold of that today. When you have doubts, know your Bible and stick with Jesus. That's as plain as it gets. Let's stand to our feet and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together, and I pray during this invitation time, there's someone here that needs to trust Jesus for the first time. Put their faith in you and be saved. I pray that they would move right now down the aisle and meet me down front. There's another need today. Lord, somebody might need prayer about doubt or anything else. Then this is the time I pray that they would move. In Jesus' name, amen.